Good evening, everybody. Brian Newberg here from GoldenBlack.com, live once again in his car, driving back from Purdue's 73-62 win over Belmont in Mackey Arena. This is our Golden Black Radio Express post-game edition, and it is once again brought to you by Follett's Purdue Bookstores, the Purdue Federal Credit Union, 6th Street Dive Restaurant, First Source Bank, the East End Grill, and the Charters team Remax Ability Plus. Once again, Purdue 73-62 over Belmont in the Boilermakers non-conference finale. This was a good win for Purdue. Obviously, it was its last chance for not only a good win, but a win period, being the last non-conference game. But this was also a pretty good win in the sense that this is a Belmont team that's probably going to play in the NCAA tournament, representing the Ohio Valley, assuming they can win their conference tournament. But even if they don't, it's not outside the realm of possibility this could be a team that can get some at-large consideration if they don't win their automatic bid. This is a good team. This is an experienced team. This is a skilled team. This is a team with legitimate size for a mid-major, which is something you don't see every day. Just a very good team, a very good offensive team more than anything. They were top 10 in college basketball in scoring. Coming in, their strengths on paper in terms of their offensive skill, their balance, and whatever else, I thought lined up in an ominous manner for Purdue, given what Purdue has not been doing well lately, especially defensively. Purdue has not been guarding very well. They've not been very cohesive defensively. They've not been playing very connected basketball from a defensive perspective. As we've said a million times this season, there's no real path to meaningful success for Purdue this season that doesn't involve defense. And it's been a very inconsistent defensive team. And inconsistent is putting it kindly, because they've been good at times, but they've never built on success in that regard. And they've just been all over the map. And when they've been bad, they've been really bad. And when they've been good, they've not really built on it. And the end of the Maryland game looked like a turning point, and turned out to be nothing of the sort, and that's why personally I had real question about Purdue today. I picked them to win, but I think I was just giving them the kind of the hometown pick. I wouldn't have been surprised at all had Purdue lost this game, and I wouldn't have been surprised really if they've lost this game in a relatively decisive manner. I just thought this Belmont team was going to give them real problems, but I underestimated Purdue's ability to sort of rise to the occasion defensively, to use a bad cliche, but they certainly did. They were really good. Ryan Klein was great defensively on Dylan Windler, who's one of the best mid-major players in the country, if not one of the better players anywhere in the country. He's a guy who averages 19 points a game, ended today with 7, made his first 3, missed his final 7, missed his first 3-pointer, that is, missed his final 7, finished the game 3 of 12 from the floor. Ryan Klein did a great job on him. Nojel Eastern did a nice job in reserve, moving off the point guard to guard the wing when Ryan Klein was out of the game. Purdue just did a great job shutting him down and really shutting Belmont period down. I think Belmont had 38 points with 10 minutes to go. Purdue melted down there for a while. A couple of consecutive turnovers off inbounds against backcourt pressure kind of harken back to some of the horror stories of the past for Purdue there for a few minutes. Belmont started making all the shots in the final 10 minutes it didn't make in the prior 30. Really kind of made this a game. Purdue did, you know, get kind of wobbly in the legs there for a while. And in hindsight, that might turn into a positive because Purdue got exposed a little bit in terms of its ability to handle pressure. You know, you've seen that movie before if you're a Purdue fan, and it responded. It settled itself, and it finished out the game, and it did so in a manner that is meaningful. Nojel Eastern, you know, a 41% free throw shooter last season, who's 3 of 12 from the line, or 3 of 15, whatever it is. Obviously a guy who's hasn't inspired a great deal of confidence from anyone in his ability to make free throws to win games at the position you most likely associate with closing out games at the foul line, that being point guard, goes to the line after missing a 1-1, makes his final 6 free throws of the game, and Purdue might have lost this game if he'd not. The way the game was trending when he first started getting sent to the line, Purdue was totally out on the slippery slope, and had he not made those free throws, or had he missed a couple, had he split a couple pairs, had he melted down altogether, Purdue might have won this, or might not have won this game, and that would have been a disaster, because Purdue led by 22 in the second half, played really, really well, and you know, things were a little bit dicey there for a few minutes. But credit to Purdue. I mean, this is not the most experienced team in college basketball. This is not a team that has been in a situation like it was in tonight in that sense, and it responded well, and it made the plays it needed to make at the end. It made the free throws it needed to make. And that was a huge concern for this team coming in, because this is not the same team at the foul line it's been the last couple years from a personnel perspective. But it did it today. And, you know, the concept of building on success looms large for this team now, because it's had opportunities to do that in the past this season and has not done it. And now with Big Ten play starting, it was important for Purdue to exit non-conference play probably with a positive feeling about itself, some confidence, whatever it may be. I think it probably has reason to have that now. You know, Nojel Eastern was a really prominent player in this game. Matt Harms was arguably the most influential player in this game. And I say that after Carson Edwards scored 24 and Purdue's perimeter defenders were all really good. But Matt Harms was really, really good in his second game coming off the bench. Matt Painter is obviously kind of working on ways here to try to get him invigorated, try to spark some of his energy out of him. I don't know if that makes any sense or not, but I don't necessarily know if I view his move to the bench as a demotion per se as much as it is Matt Painter just kind of reworking things a little bit to try to get the best out of Matt Harms. And if that had anything to do with today, the move was successful, because Harms was really good at both ends of the floor. He was really influential defensively in a great all-around defensive performance by Purdue. He was really good offensively, and he turned the three-way timeshare at center. Purdue rolled out against Ohio and probably intended to roll out today against Belmont into him playing 26 minutes. Travion Williams playing close to 7, and starter Evan Boudreau only playing 6. I thought Evan Boudreau, his lack of traditional center size at center, really kind of showed up today. But this was much more about what Matt Harms did as opposed to what other people didn't do. He was really good. And Purdue's freshmen in general were really good. Both the redshirt freshmen, Aaron Wheeler and Sasha Stefanovic, in the first half were really good. Eric Hunter and Travion Williams, the two true freshmen who are active, were both very good throughout. Those two guys are playing their best basketball this season right now going into Big Ten play. Both guys seem to have some confidence. Purdue in general, its young players seem to have confidence. Purdue, after this Belmont game, has some reason to feel pretty good about itself defensively, has some momentum defensively, has to carry it forward. It didn't do that after the Maryland game when it closed that game out with suffocating defense. It has to do it now. Again, Purdue needs a meaningful defensive identity to have any sort of meaningful success. And I'm clearly overusing the word meaningful at this point. But Purdue has to defend at least a quality level in order to be able to win the sort of games it needs to win to make something of this season from here on out. And if the Belmont game is one that Purdue can parlay into future success in those sorts of games, then, you know, Purdue enters Big Ten play probably in a pretty good place. But again, as we always say in these situations where we're looking at the short term in terms of how we project it toward the long term, this is really only about what Purdue makes of it. Purdue has some defensive momentum here. It has to build on success. This is a team that has not been able to do that in any way, shape, or form really this season, and really needs to be able to do that moving forward, because it is a young team, it is a new team, it is an inexperienced team, relatively speaking, still at this stage of the season, and it needs to be able to build on the successes it comes up with. It needs to keep getting better as the season goes on, and a big part of that, obviously, is building on success, and Purdue has a lot of success today from its win over Belmont to build on. So those are kind of our thoughts here from Purdue 73-62 win over Belmont and Mackey Arena. So for Brian Newbert from goldenblack.com, thanking our sponsors once again, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the East End Grill, First Source Bank, the Sixth Street Dive Restaurant, Purdue Federal Credit Union, and the Charters Team Remax Ability Plus. Thank you, everybody. Hope you have a great rest of your Saturday night. Take care.